back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Haas of Team Reba.
And I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank Home Mortgage.
Yes, here with Batman.
That's right. Thank you, our announcer.
Talking war stories about real estate and finance. Ooh, we have sound effects.
Oh, man.
I'm not exactly sure what that is, but...
That's either, I don't know if that's war story or a bad video game. Sounds like...
Yeah, that sounds like a video game war story.
Well, that's our esteemed producer, David. Thank you very much for that.
Yes. Thank you. We like some sound effects here and
all
there.
All right. So, Reba.
We need, you know what we need is a sound effect right now to slap somebody because
this is
a real estate agent. I couldn't believe when you told me this story the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to have the face of that agent and just reach across and smack.
Yes.
Just slap that person because I thought, what in the world did you think you were doing? Because this is a horrible, egregious, just so many ethical violations alone
right.
and probably legal because of fraudulent activity. So I'm going to let you tell the story to our listeners, but oh my gosh, you got to listen to this.
Okay. So here's the story. Now in our real estate market, you know, we have a hot market, competitive market. A lot of the times there's multiple offers. And if you're putting in an offer and you know there's going to be multiple offers, mm-hmm. you'll oftentimes put in an escalation clause.
Mm-hmm.
So the escalation clause says that I will beat the next highest offer by X amount of dollars, if it's $5,000 or so, up to a mm-hmm. certain limit.
Right.
Well, here's this story. So there's a real estate agent that has a listing, and this home is listed for $800,000. And it's not selling, it's sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And so the agent is getting a little bit desperate. And then, lo and behold, in comes an offer.
Hold on. When you say it hasn't been selling, how long?
I think it had been on the market over 30 days, which is
my goodness.
Dinosaur ages in this market.
Yeah.
You know? So obviously, the agent, when it was listed, the price was set. Maybe it wasn't a realistic price, you know,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise it would have sold
sooner.
It was a nice house. So an offer comes in, the one offer, and it has an escalation clause. It has an escalation clause from $800,000 up to $840,000.
Right.
You know, but there's no other offers. Now, the rule is, and confirm mm-hmm. if I got this right, Reba, when there's an escalation, the agent must provide a copy of the competing offer.
If they're using the escalation documents, yes, there is a form specifically for escalations. I will tell you, every attorney who works with the Multiple Listing Service here locally, the Northwest Multiple Listing Service, they all hate these forms, by mm-hmm. the way. But they were forced into helping develop one that could be used more consistently across the board because individual offices were starting to all create their own
mm-hmm.
and it was getting messy.
Complicated, yeah.
And a lot of, you know, I mean, we have limited license,
mm-hmm.
right? Like limited,
right.
you know, rule of law and all of that to work around. So when you start having lots of different forms, you have agents who are now potentially getting into violation of agency law because they're working outside of what they're, you know, trained for,
mm-hmm.
right? So they standardize this form. People use it. Yes, it has, you know, standardized language and some fill-in blocks for like what the escalation amounts are up to a particular cap. And then there's a little fill-in sheet that you use to do the math
right.
of comparing to the other offer.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a requirement, it says it's invalidated if the agent, the listing agent, does not return it back to the winning party with a copy of the other third-party links.
Mm-hmm.
Note the, well, no, not just competing offer, but a third-party arm's length offer.
Right. Okay.
Okay, that being the compelling and interesting point there.
Well, here's where things get interesting on this one. So there's one offer in on this home.
Mm-hmm.
It does have an escalation, but there's no competing offer.
Mm-hmm.
So what this listing
The buyer is aware of.
That the buyer is aware of. Well,
yes.
That, and we know this for fact,
yeah.
you know, at this point. So what the listing agent did is they had a past customer and knew a name of this past customer on another transaction. I think the person never ended up buying. And this listing agent made a fake offer with this person's name on it.
Which is illegal.
They had an old pre-approval.
Fraud.
They had an old pre-approval letter from another lender.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, on and on like that. So this thing gets submitted and escalated up to $840,000.
Funny how it just happens to go to that cap.
So the buyer who submitted this offer with the escalation got to take a look at the competing offer, looks at the name on it, and knows the person.
Ugh.
So he reaches out to this person and said, hey, I guess we're trying to buy the same home.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person says,
What
are you talking about?
Oh,
I'm
God.
Not buying that house. I don't have any idea
what you're talking about. Unbelievable.
That's where we come in.
Yeah.
And because this listing agent calls one of my loan officers and says, hey, I need a big favor. And it's like, what? It's like, well, I've got this other offer on this home. So she was going to write up a second fake offer. And I need you to write a letter of approval for it.
The person actually admitted to
the loan officer?
Well, no.
She didn't initially.
Oh, okay.
And so my loan officer is like,
But this is what you discovered.
Yeah, this is what I discovered.
Okay.
So my loan officer is like, no, I can't just write an approval letter. You know, I need to run credit. I need to talk to the customer.
Right.
We need to take a full application
and
actually approve the loan.
This isn't the Wild West for 2005.
No. Right. So the agent tells my loan officer, well, why don't you just fake your phone number on the letter? That way, if somebody calls to check it out, they won't be able to reach you.
And I can't believe that was their recommendation.
My loan officer promptly says, forget it. You know, I don't even want to have anything to do with this.
Right.
You know, go away. Anyway, so in the end, the agent that submitted that offer is no longer a gainfully employed real estate agent.
I hope they had their license pulled.
They did. Yeah, they're out. Yeah, they're out.
Did they actually pull their license?
I'm not sure. I know they were fired from their company,
See, that doesn't necessarily mean...
Right.
You know, unless somebody
takes... Well, these things take
time,
though, so it could be something.
Well, I don't know. If someone commits fraud, I can't imagine the Department of Licensing wanting to take their time.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how long that takes. I mean, to prove it, document it,
okay,
investigate it.
All right, so let's quickly, for our listeners, you know, like they're hearing the story and they're like, they're probably all doing what I did when you first called and told me the story. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like,
but
let's walk through what just happened. Okay. And how would a consumer have known any of that?
Well, that's a really good question, because in this case, it was just dumb luck that the person on the competing offer, they happened to, you know, the buyer happened to know the person.
Yeah, it was absolutely a weird serendipity of sorts that this person knew the other person. They didn't have like a real similar name, like a Mike Smith or something like that, where it could have been like 20 other guys.
Right. That's right.
Well, because here's the other thing is like, it's very key. Here's some things for somebody to look for. Okay. If you're the person receiving the competing offer to be compared against yours,
right.
Here's some things that would be tips for you that even if your agent doesn't have much experience, which please, for crepe's sake, find somebody with experience. But things you want to look for. If that agent hasn't put in the full contact information of their customer other than their name, meaning no address, no phone numbers,
email.
No self-identifying information, things that normally have to be on these documents for the title and escrow companies for follow-up after you get under mutual acceptance, you want to start questioning when there's a lack of information.
Yep.
Right. So that would be one way to take a look at it. If you're talking to your agent about this, maybe you see that that's missing and you ask them to do a little bit further, you know, check on that. And then, of course, you can also look for whether that pre-approval letter is there. You could also call yourself.
That's right.
To confirm that is still an arm's length situation, because in this instance, if the gal that you're talking about in your office had gone ahead and, you know, gone on, and let's say if that agent that you were talking about who wanted to falsify all this stuff, I'm going to tell you right now, there are cases where sometimes those letters come across in like a Word document.
Right.
And anybody
can
alter
altered,
those.
Modified.
Right.
Right.
You're going to be looking for those kinds of things. Like, can they be modified type documents? Did they come in a certain way? You're going to want to make a phone call of your own, perhaps, if there's some concern about that. I mean, even just the fact that you said this thing had been on the market for a period of time. But I will say, caveat to that, even when we had the downturn and houses, I mean, we went up to as long as 18 months of inventory on market at one point. I had a client who came in from out of state, was looking for a place here. And lo and behold, after several days of us going out and looking at stuff, they found the house that they really, really wanted. And I kid you not, that day, that house had been on the market for almost 6 months. Three offers.
Sometimes that happens.
All came in on the same day.
Yeah.
Now, but that was the thing is we, because I questioned it. Mm-hmm. I went, are you serious? Like, really, three offers came in?
Right.
And in talking to the agent, I felt 100% confident. She was like, I'm happy to share them with you.
Right, right. Well, and this, yeah.
And we won on that case because they came back and said, hey, we want, like, all of you submitted offers. The client can't make up their mind. We'd like to come back and we want to ask a highest and best. Because there was, because nobody was expecting another person writing an offer that day. So there weren't escalations. And we didn't, you know, didn't have the standardized form at that time.
Right.
But they came back and asked for a highest and best. And she said, I will share with you the other offers if you want to have